I want to talk to us again about the absolute power of Jesus. The absolute power of Jesus. Before we consider the significance of this fifth sign of the seven signs in John's gospel, I would like for us to note carefully that nobody saw this sign except Jesus' disciples. Singularly, nobody was around but Jesus' disciples. At the wedding in Cana of Galilee, the house was filled with wedding guests, servants, and people from the community were there. The house was full of people, and so Jesus openly turned water into wine. At the pool of Bethesda, there were blind people, lame people, sick and halted people, crowd, multitude, many people. And Jesus healed a man, told him, take up your bed and walk. Out on the hillside, there were 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. Over 20,000 people were there when Jesus took two fish and five barley loaves and fed the multitudes. The wedding feast, the impotent man, the feeding of the multitude, crowds of people were around. But brothers and sisters, this sign is for Christians only. There are some things that God does only for his children. There are some things that you see and hear that you will only see and hear if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Every miracle is not for everybody. Sometimes God just wants to individually single you out to show you some things other folk can't see. No barrier. No distance, no element of nature can keep Jesus away from people who obey him. I want you to see this in the text. The words, by now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. Though these words are prosaically true, they sound poetic to read. These words are also laden with symbolism, because the darkness of the night and the absence of Jesus are powerfully linked. Because it seems just when you need him the most, he's nowhere to be found. I need somebody here who's had some sleepless nights, some dark days, and you prayed and no answer came. You start singing a song and there was no joy in your song. Because sometimes when life gets dark and life gets hard and life gets mean and life gets terrifying, you would expect that that's the time Jesus ought to show up. But it seems when life is darkest, Jesus is absent. But the absence of humility brings with it a strange anxiety. Because when you know God, you know that he's present, even though you can't see it, you can feel it. There are some things we just know because we're believers. I know in whom I have believed. And that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. We know that if this earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, we have another building, a house not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. That's just some things the believer knows. People don't understand how you're humming and singing and giving God glory, and you've been laid off from your job, or you lost your house, or you've got a bad report from the doctor. It does not matter what's going on outside you. There's something that's going on the inside of you. This joy, I wish I had a witness. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Walk with me around the text. The text is teaching us something in verses 15 through 18. Jesus had to do something to teach the crowd, because the crowd is so enamored and taken aback over these fish sandwiches that they are about to rush him and make him king. And Jesus wants to straighten out their theology. He has not come to be some military leader. He has not come to meet just their physical needs. The crowd is getting ready to take him by force, and you have to be careful in the crowd, because it's easy in a crowd like this to develop a crowd mentality. You clap because everybody else claps. You raise your hands because everybody else raises their hand. You say amen because you are in the crowd. But there's something that ought to happen for you individually that you don't need a crowd to get you pumped up. I don't need the minister of music to tell me to give God a hand of praise. I don't need a praise team to choreograph and manage and stage how I praise God. God is good to me individually. God has been good to me personally. God has been good to me financially and materially and physically and emotionally and spiritually. And when I think about it, have I got a witness here? When I look back over my life and see how many doors God has opened, I don't have to be in a crowd to praise him. Anybody in here ever praise God in your den? You ever praise God standing at the kitchen sink washing dishes? You ever praise God getting ready for work? God, thank you that I got somewhere to work this morning. Thank God for the food you're getting ready to eat. Thank God for the bed you laid in last night, because somebody slept outdoors last night. Don't let the crowd make you praise or stop you from praise. And then Jesus had to get the disciples together. Because the disciples had been with him. They had seen him work miracles, but they were still doubting. And so Jesus had to call them aside to teach them some things in the storm that they couldn't learn in the daylight. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. And then Jesus had to work on himself, because Gethsemane and Calvary are in his path. And in order for him to settle himself, to steady himself, to die on a cross, he had to commune with his Father. And so He sends them, Matthew says, he constrains them. He forces them to get in their boat and go over to the other side. A little aside here, just in case you fall asleep for the rest of the message. Whenever Jesus says, go over, you never have to worry about going under. Because he promised. I wish I had a Bible reader. He promised no good thing will I withhold from him who walks uprightly. The steps of a good man, you can help me say it, are ordered by the Lord. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law doth he meditate both day and night. Come on, you can help me preach it. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I will keep him in perfect peace if you keep your mind trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. They were going. The darkness had fallen. The sea is rising. The storm is upon them. And they are alone. For 6 hours. They battled against the storm with the wind and the waves against them. They were struggling against the storm when they saw a figure approaching them. And the wind and the waves that were holding them back had no effect on him. It was raining, but he wasn't wet. The wind was blowing their boat, but his clothes were not ruffled. The gale force winds were blowing, but he was walking, strolling on the water. Because if he made the sea, he can turn it into a sidewalk. And he can do it to come see about those who love him. The word I'm trying to get over to you this morning, Lily Grove, is if you're in trouble, if your life is on a stormy sea, if your life is being tossed by the waves and the currents of life, Jesus is coming to see about you, and he's going to do whatever he has to do to get to where you are. And when you see him coming, you know it's him, because who else would come to you in your mess? Your friends ain't coming because they're glad you're in trouble. Your enemies are not coming because they hope you die. But Jesus is on his way because he is able to walk on the sea like it's a sidewalk. He comes. Matthew says, in the fourth watch of the night, walking on the sea. And in verses 19 through 20, there's a transgression committed by the disciples. Because they see Jesus coming. Matthew's gospel says they think he's a ghost, a figment of their imagination. And Jesus comes walking on the sea, and they are terrified. What a transgression. They don't get it yet. And let's not be too hard on them. Because when life turns on us, we act like we don't know God can bring us and deliver us. God just got through getting you out of a mess. Then your back is up against the wall and you're wringing your hands. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Let me see it. Listen, if God brought you yesterday, if God protected you last year, if God healed you the last time you were sick, the same God who brought you back then can bring you right now. Such a miraculous act as walking on the water is simultaneously a declaration. Jesus is making a statement without using words. What the disciples saw when they saw Jesus was not a ghost. They did not see a phantasm. They saw nothing less than the Creator in charge of his creation. Much like Moses at the burning bush in Exodus at chapter 3. Much like Moses, the disciples were in the unquantifiable presence. The unquantifiable presence of the living God. And as God spoke to Moses first at the burning bush, Jesus spoke first to his disciples when he was walking on the sea. Now, brothers and sisters, hear me. They were terrified. In the presence of God, fear is at once natural, but at the same time, unwarranted. God is terrifying. Yet, when he is embraced as the God who loves us, this terrible God is the safest place to be. Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. In what is a moment of both wonder and worship, the gospel declares in God's own words the identity of his son. Now they shouted when I said this at 7:30. I mean, they had to catch somebody. They was almost on 288 when I said this at 7:30. Jesus came walking on the water. And when they saw him, they were terrified. The Gospel of Mark says, and he would have passed them by. But somebody cried out. And he's in here this morning. And he will pass you by if you're too proud to cry out. He will give a blessing that was supposed to come to you to somebody else who is humble enough to say, Father, I stretch. I wish I had a witness here. You can sit with your arms folded if you want to, but I need the Lord to come see about me. I need God to forgive me. I need God to bless me. I need God to open a door for me. And he will stop by your pew if you cry out. Not my brother. Not my sister. But it's me, oh Lord. Fill my cup. I don't mind my neighbor's cup getting full, but Lord, fill my cup. I don't mind my neighbor getting a raise. Lord, give me a raise. Let some drops fall on me. Now, that's not why they shouted. I think somebody's already made it to I-10 by now. That's not why they shouted. Here is what made somebody run this morning. Jesus got to where they were, and they were terrified. In the reading that I just read, and in the King James Bible and in other translations, it sounds one way, but it's not a shout until you read it from the Greek. I can't read Greek. So I had to call Ralph West to get the proper sense of this text. My translation, the New Revised Standard Version, and the King James says, it is I, be not afraid. That's good enough till you read it in the Greek. In the Greek, it reads, I am no fear. Did you hear that? I am no fear. You know where that comes from, don't you? The Lord called Moses at the burning bush to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses said, Lord, the people are going to ask me who sent me. Tell them I am that. Now, if you say it going forward, it's an interrogative. If you say it going backwards, it's a declaration. I am that I am. Let's look at it backwards. Am I that? Am I? Haven't I blessed you already? Haven't I opened the door already? Then I am. Am I? I am no fear. And when the Lord comes in your situation, when the Lord steps in your sickness, the Lord comes in your sleepless night, you can hear him just like those disciples. I am no fear. The tense of the verb is stop fearing and don't start that again. Stop being afraid. No fear. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. You don't need to be envious against the workers of iniquity. They shall soon be cut off like grass, and they shall wither like the green herb. I need somebody to help me preach it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, just before they got to me, they stumbled and they fell. Though a host should encamp against me, bring your bars with you if you think you can take me. shouldn't camp against me. In this will I be confident. One thing. You're going to help me preach this, won't you? Have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all my days. Here it is. For in the time of trouble. One last thing. Be not dismayed. Whatever be tied, God will take care of you. Won't he do it? Why don't you tell somebody sitting next to you, I don't know what you're going through. The past. I'm through. I'm finished. Here it is. When Jesus got in their boat, here's what happened. From the reading of the text, it would appear that Jesus performed a second miracle. Walking on the sea was the first miracle. And when you read the text, it appears that when Jesus got in the boat, immediately they were on the land. When Jesus got in the boat, the storm was still raging. He did not calm the storm on the sea. But he calmed the storm in them. And God may not cause your storm to cease. God just may give you peace in the midst of it. God, you don't have to move the mountain. Just give me the strength to climb. You don't have to get back at folk who've been talking about you. And watch this. When you start to outgrow them, it won't be long before you outglow them. And they'll be looking at you wondering why you still going up while they're trying to pull you down. Why are you looking so good with all the stuff you're going through? Girl, listen, the Lord is on my side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? God does not always calm the storm. He gives you peace in the midst of it. I know some people at this church with cancer and they still come into church. Still giving God the glory. I know some folk here who have lost their jobs and did not know where their next meal was going to come from. But they came to church not pouting, not pulling their hair out, saying, "Red to me, Reverend, I don't know how it's going to work out, but I know God's going to fix it." They lost their job for no reason, no fault of their own. And then when God closed that door, God opened a bigger and better door. Because if you trust him, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Have I got some witnesses here? He'll make your enemy your footstool. You're going to help me close this, won't you? When Jesus got on board their ship, they kept sailing in the storm. But the storm that was outside them didn't do anything for what was going on inside them. Because when God is your keeper, when the Lord is your shade on your right hand, the Bible says the sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. For the Lord shall preserve your soul. He'll preserve you from all evil. He'll preserve your going out and your coming in. I wish I had a witness here who can help me testify that God is a keeper. God is a deliverer. God knows how to answer prayer. God knows how to come to your rescue. Some of y'all was raised in the old church like I was raised. Our elders would say something like this: he may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. Have I got a witness here? Has thou not known? Has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Father, the creator of the ends of the earth, there's no searching of his understanding. I'm talking about Isaiah now. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and grow weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Come on, you can help me preach the rest of it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. I wish I had somebody to help me close here. When the storms are going on in your life and look like the devil is getting the best of you, there's a word I want you to take with you this morning. Douglas Miller helps us right here. He says, though the storms keep on raging in my life, and sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day, still that hope that lies within is reassured as I keep my eyes upon the distant shore. I know he'll lead me to that blessed place that he has prepared. But if the storms don't cease, if the winds keep on blowing in my life, my soul has been an anchor. My soul has been an anchor. Billows may roll, breakers may dash. I shall not fear, because he holds me fast. So dark the night, clouds in the sky, I know it's all right, because Jesus is nigh. Has your soul been anchored? Why don't you grab somebody? Why don't you tell somebody, my soul, my soul, my soul, my soul, my soul, my soul, I know you. He will, he will make a way. He will see you through. He will bring you trust him this morning? Do you believe it this morning? Tell him thank you for what you've already done. Thank you for what you're doing right now. Thank you for what you promised yet to do. I know you, Lord.